Hi, welcome back to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. In this special series, I've been focusing on les filles du roi, the king's daughters, which are truly the founding mothers of Quebec, and in many respects, the rest of Canada and North America. And in each of the episodes, I'm trying to focus my attention on each lady at a time, and really give her the due and the proper respect I feel like she deserves. If there's one thing, Jawa, that you would love for me to feature, please, please put her down in the comments below and I'll try to put her to the top of the line. There's so many of them. Hopefully I will get to yours as quickly as possible. Now, if you like this channel and if you like the video and want to get notified, you know what you got to do. You got to subscribe and like and notify. All of the above really helps me out as well. Knowing what's good content and giving me feedback, I love hearing your feedback. So with that being said, let's get started, shall we? Now, the actual program, Les Filles du Roi, was a program begun in 1663 by the intendant of New France at the time, Jean Talon. I go into this in great detail in one of my separate videos called The Program 2.0. And I would urge you to have a look at that if you want to kind of review what the program was all about, how the girls were recruited, how they came across, what happened once they were here. All the above is featured in that video. Well, today's fille du roi is someone that was recommended by a viewer. She has no relationship, and this is the first one I'm doing, no relationship to any other person that I have done a tree for or have, you know, their information for. So Jeanne Braconnier is the lady that we are featuring today. Let's get to know Jeanne. Jeanne was born in 1651 in the parish of Sainte-Marguerite in the Faubourg Saint-Antoine of Paris. Her parents were Nicolas Braconnier and Charlotte Claude Brunet. Now, you can see that the 11th arrondissement is actually contained the Bastille. So all of you have heard of the Bastille, the storming of the Bastille. So it is an incredible area. It's also known as Popincourt, and it's situated on the right bank of the River Seine, and it happens to be at the moment one of the most densely populated urban districts in all of Europe. The 11th district, as from what I've seen, because I'm not being there, is really kind of a varied. It has all kinds of different things in it. To the west lies the Place de la République, which is linked to the Place de la Bastille, which we all know. And then we have the Boulevard Richard Lenoir with its large markets and children's parks. The rue du Faubourg Saint-Antoine, which is very close to where Jeanne would have lived, is full of cafes and restaurants, and then exactly what you would think of like with Paris. But it also contains art galleries and boutiques. And then there's another section called the Oberkamp district, and it's really popular for nightlife. And then to the east is far more residential, and it's got a little bit of wholesale commerce. So it's just a really interesting, I haven't seen a lot of young ladies so far come from this arrondissement. Obviously, when she was born, it wasn't all that, but it has at its essence that liveliness, that, you know, all kinds of things are happening in it. And I suspect that probably imbued Jeanne with that kind of esprit, as they say. A picture on the left, bottom left, is the church that she would have been baptized in as well. So Jeanne's father passes away, and she's about 22, and she is recruited to be a fille du roi. She sails on the ship called L'Espérance, which means wish, and she arrives in New France on September 3rd, 1673. Jeanne has the honor of being the first fille du roi that we are studying who arrives on the very last ship coming from France. By now the program is, you know, 10 years old, and there have been enough women who have come over, but she gets She gets that golden ticket, the last one to come aboard. And thankfully for her descendants, she gets on that ship. Let's see who she picks to be her groom. Well, I'm telling you, Jeanne did not waste much time. She arrives on the 3rd of September. Remember, let's get this right. By the 10th of September, she's actually got a contract and it's being annulled to Louis Chapecou. And so that didn't work out. So then she turns her attention, and by September 18th, again, this is 15 days after she arrives in New France. I marvel. And so by September 18th, she is marrying Crespin Tullier de la Tour, and he becomes the groom. And he was born in Picardy. His parents were Urbain Tullier and Florence Palliot. He's a widower of another fille du roi, Marie-Madeleine Canard, that we'll probably be studying at some point. And this is the area of France that he is from. This is also the ruins of the church that he would have been baptized in. And here's the proof that Crispin and Jeanne were married on the 18th of September, 1673. And they begin their life together. Their first son was born just the next year, 1674, but did not live past the age of one. And their daughter, Jeanne, was born 1676 and does pass away in 1681. But let's kind of backtrack a little bit. So somehow, okay, remember we told you that Jeanne has a daughter, and so she is born in 1676. Somehow, somewhere, because Spain would die in 1675. The date is unknown. We haven't found a death record for him. All we do know is this, that on October 16th, 1675, Jeanne marries another man. I mean, this woman's ability to find men, I wish I had known this in my single years. Just amazing. So, but she marries him 5 months pregnant at that time. I mean, an amazing act of kindness for a man to marry a woman who was pregnant. Just amazing. So he is kind of her knight in shining armor. Let's find out who this man is. So his name is Charles Edeline. He was born in 1641. And he is from the parish of Saint-Jacques de la Boucherie in Paris. It's called the Church of St. James of the Butchery. It was built around the 12th century. Its name is actually derived from the butchers who did the trading in the Halles market, which was not that far away. The church started off as a very small establishment, and it was continually being expanded, more so between the 14th and the 16th century. It was during the latter age that it was finally completed. It was a magnificent structure. And very Gothic, and l'église Saint-Jacques de la Boucherie was a place of worship for many religious folks. Besides being the church of the patron butchers, it was the destination of choice of pilgrims who were about to start their pilgrim journeys. They would congregate at the church before they set out on what is commonly referred to as the Way of St. James. In the early 1500s, though, it was decided that a tower needed to be built, not only to amplify the worth of the church, but to make a monument that would be appreciated by all. The Tour Saint-Jacques was constructed between 1509 and 1523. And you can see it today. And so, you know, people gave money to have this amazing, amazing place to worship. During the French Revolution, almost all the churches in Paris were abandoned. They were quickly transformed from places of worship to meeting places. They were looted and some were completely destroyed. L'église Saint-Jacques de la Boucherie succumbed to such a fate, so it's no longer. However, we still have the tower, so we can at least see where Charles would have been baptized. And so let's have a look at the life that he created with Jeanne. So So Shao marries Zhen on October 16, 1675. Remember, she's 5 months pregnant at Boucherville, because where they're going to go, there is no church. And so now they're ready to start their new life. So the family settles at Longueuil, which is a place I know very well. It's just off the island of Montreal. When I was a child, we would have to get to Longueuil to get on the metro. It was just one of those hubs. It was founded in 1657 by Charles Lemoine. He was the lord of the area starting in 1657. That's him on the upper left. He looks like a lord. He named Longueuil after the village of Longueuil, which is in his homeland of Normandy. Longueuil in Dieppe is not spelt the same way. I don't know how it got to be misspelled, but so is the that is the history of why it was picked there. You can see on this map in the middle that it's just, it looks like it's really far away from Montreal, but it's not. And then in the middle, we have a picture of Longueuil, the way it looks right now, right along the St. Lawrence. It really is a lovely stopping place, you know. And then, of course, the church that did not exist when they were there. And that is the church that was built between 1685 and 1690. And this is one of the more historic buildings that dates from that time that I found. I just thought it was really interesting. If your family is from this area, certainly there's a lot to see for the history of the area as well. Well, let's have a look at the family they created. Catherine Thérèse marries Bertrand de Bluch and has 4 children, all of whom make it to adulthood. Charles marries Hélène Charron and has 3 children. Hélène's mother was Catherine Pila and was also a fille du roi. François, their 3rd born, passes away at the age of 3. Pierre Jean dies in infancy. Pierre marries Louise Catherine Patineau and has 15 children, but only 4 of whom reach adulthood. Louise's grandmother was Françoise Moisan and was a fille du roi. Marianne marries Étienne Percelier and has 3 children with him, and upon his death, she marries Louis Duvier and has 1 child with him. All her children make it. We have Angélique, who passes away in infancy. Agathe did not marry. Louis-Antoine married Marie-Madeleine Drousseau, but did not have any children. Louis-Antoine actually becomes an engagé for the West, which is probably why we don't have a record for him. Perhaps he did have children, but in America. So this is one of those DNA things that I keep talking about. Like, at some point, we will connect. All of a sudden, they'll have some link. And you're like, how did that come? And hopefully, we will find out what happened to Louis-Antoine and his family. Jean-Baptiste marries Marie-Marguerite Benoit, but due to his early death, they only have 1 child who does make it. So Charles and Jean would go on to live together for 36 years, a remarkable achievement, and they would die 8 months apart. Both, it appears, victims of an epidemic, possibly measles, that was there in 1711. They are both buried in the Notre Dame Cemetery, which is under the cornerstone of the Basilica Notre Dame. So that is their final resting place. And with that, we end another fille du roi moment. Jeanne Braconnier was remarkable in that she, you know, was on that last ship. She made it on there. She went through the first prospect that didn't work out. The next one, he dies. She gets another husband. The third is the charm. She has, you know, she goes through the incredible journey that is Quebec. She was also in an area of Quebec that would have been extremely, you know, just getting started, shall we say. And it wasn't quite the Quebec City or Three Rivers. It was a little bit younger. So I think that she was a very brave soul. And I think she was certainly, she would have, you know, she dies and she's about, I guess she would have been about 70 years old, which is a remarkable achievement for that time period. I think that she is, again, one of those remarkable filles du roi that I'm honored to be featuring. So thank you to the viewer who recommended her, because I thought her life story had lots of interesting bits to it as well. So with that, I leave you, and I will bid you adieu and au revoir until we meet again. And this time, it'll be episode number 40.